Hello, lovers. Go to entambopleasurables.com for your slippery needs and get 20% off with the WILD20 promo code. You'll thank me later. Running Wild with Christine, sex, success, and other slippery rabbit holes. Welcome to episode 116, the post-COVID dissection.
Yeah, fingers crossed post-COVID.
What do you mean fingers crossed post-COVID?
Hey, it can happen.
To me?
To me again. It's scary. It's a wild world out there.
Okay, guys. Well, I guess this is the intro. Welcome back to Mark, my partner.
Hello.
For those who don't know, we've spent the last 3 weeks in quarantine.
Yes.
Because Mark tested positive for COVID.
Yeah, I got COVID.
Fuck me. But you're here to tell the tale, so.
It's been a roller coaster. It's been an absolute roller coaster.
You want to talk about it?
Yeah, let's talk about it. It's, I definitely got it from work.
Answering the first question right away. Where'd you get it? Are you one of those assholes that we should be judging? Like we judge people with STIs?
Yeah. No, I definitely got it from work. It's no joke. It's a serious virus. It attacks your system. It leaves you extremely physically weak while you're battling it. But also, just as importantly, there's a huge mental toll of COVID that I think we don't really talk about, but you don't really have that with other serious, like I got the swine flu 10 plus years ago. I've gotten really sick.
I didn't know that.
Oh yeah. And I mean, I've been laid out, you know, like bedridden for days, worse, almost physically in some ways worse than COVID-19, but not only wasn't there social media presence and constant inundation of facts and fears and all this stuff, but you heal almost because you're just thinking about the physiological effects of your body. You're not thinking about, oh, when am I going to be in a hospital with a tube down my throat? What if I die? You know?
Yeah. Should we go back to your symptoms and then we can do you want to tell the story of how you found out or do you want to just talk about the effects?
Well,
what do you think is more important?
The story, I started feeling the effects on a weekend. And
but we didn't think it was COVID. We were convinced you had a cold.
Yeah, well, your body really, it's one of those things where everything in your mind kind of tries to deflect away from the fact that it could be COVID just because it's so scary.
Yeah, and also because we haven't seen anyone in forever and all we do is work. And at work, we get tested so many times a week and we wear PPE. And so there's this false sense of, you know, safety.
Yeah, it can't be. There's no way it can be COVID kind of thing.
Yeah, we're not one of those dumb people who's been partying. It cannot be. We cannot have gotten it while also being martyrs to, you know.
Yeah, to our social lives. That's also just kind of the scary, a pandemic doesn't give a shit how good you've been while it's still going on.
Mm-hmm. It's not over yet.
Yeah, the whole thing about be kind, be safe and all that stuff, that's great. But that's a really hard doctrine to follow. I know people get angry and just stay inside, wear a mask, don't see people, but I think we could all agree we can say all that stuff, but we've seen in our society, in Canada at least, in British Columbia, that it's really fucking hard to actually follow through with.
Yeah, it's really fucking hard on everything, and so much of this is really fucking hard because so you stayed home because you had some symptoms.
Yeah.
You went and got tested while I was at work.
In full on delirium, full on pain and fever when I actually went and got tested, I probably had it for 2 days prior, which I felt bad. But that third day of actually having coronavirus was, and me actually having to drive the, 20 kilometers to the health authority to get it was probably the worst, one of the worst days I actually had it. And I had to drive. Like, I actually had to drive through some of the busiest traffic in this province to, like, get to where I needed to be.
Is that still, like, a triggering thing?
What is?
Well, you talk about that drive. I've heard you say it multiple times. Was it, like, one of the things that you were, like...
It was a journey.
Scared to do?
It was... Thinking back on it, I mean, it took me much longer because I avoided the giant highway. Because I'm like, I'm in no mental state to actually be around giant trucks going 120 kilometers an hour. So I took the back roads.
That's scary, boo.
Yeah. I took the back roads through Coquitlam and Port Moody and stuff. And I had just this long, just if it felt like I wasn't really even like doing it in a lot of ways. Like I was just
autopilot.
Autopilot. Yeah. That's the best way to describe it. I don't think it's necessarily trigger. It's just like the
fact. Did you think that? Sorry, I'm interrupting you.
No, that's okay. Go ahead.
Did you think that you had it when you were driving there? You were like, for sure, I have it.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. You could tell. Like I knew. I mean, I didn't want to have it, but like looking back on it, like I knew.
Luckily, I was at work, so I didn't panic with you that day.
Yeah.
Just spare. Thank you for sparing my mental health. But yeah. Then word came down you had it.
Well, yeah, I got. I mean. Later that night I got a text saying I had it, so
which meant that I was also stuck in the house now, which meant that we were both stuck in the house but we couldn't be near each other. Now we are very, very privileged to have our own place where we have no roommates.
Yes,
but we only have one bedroom, we only have one bathroom.
Yeah.
And we did the fatal mistake of thinking you didn't have COVID, so I was like, oh, you take the couch and watch TV while I stay in the bedroom and I'll go to work tomorrow and have all my shit ready. And that was Sunday night. And then we were fucked essentially on Monday.
Well, I mean, yeah, I think it also brings up a good point of, I mean, it wasn't just us. It was like the societal pressure of our job in the midst of a pandemic, like your work essentially telling you that you should be coming into work, like because they needed you, right? Because your labor was essential to them.
It's not essential, man. They replaced me within like 20 minutes. But when I'm trying, yes, I said, you have symptoms on Sunday and should I go into work on Monday? And they're like, well, it's just a cough. Yeah. So yeah, you should come. Like that's not enough for you not to come to work, which I appreciate because I need the income, but also like, just give us a fucking sick days.
Yeah, the income is secondary. That's what I was trying. I mean, like, that's the thing. Like, I mean, it's good that you could work in theory, but also the fact that the people, like, especially this time, they should have been like, oh shit, don't come in.
Yeah. And also, like, I guess they were comforted by the fact that my job isn't as risky to others. Like, I'm quite isolated and I'm always distanced. There's no situation in which I have to be indoors with people.
Yeah.
So that helps, but still.
Oh, yeah. And I mean, when I phoned my direct boss and told them that I had symptoms, I mean, they were like, come in and get tested on Monday, like, because we need you kind of thing. Because they, you know what I mean? Like,
it's so fucked up.
Yeah.
So anyways, away from work, here we are. It's fucking Monday night. We get a text saying you definitely have coronavirus. And you're stuck on the couch because I can't disinfect the couch. So I can't even lock you in a room. Sounds harsh, but you know, that's what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to lock the one person with COVID in a room. How did you feel Monday night? I remember I was sleeping in bed and you yelled from the couch like, I got the text. I got the Rona.
Yeah. I mean, you feel shitty. I mean, you're kind of in a twisted way. You're relieved.
Do you mean?
You're relieved that you actually have it, because of the whole fear of the unknown cliche. It's very true. You got it, and then you got to just deal with your reality. Do you know what I mean? Like, that's a reality that you know now. Mm. You fucking have it. Like, deal with it.
Mm.
But also, I had a fever and my chest was caving in. So,
yeah,
it's not fun.
And then, like, the next day, like, obviously, like, health authorities called and were like, this is what you're supposed to do, this is what you're not supposed to do. And they called me, this is what you're supposed to do, this is what you're not supposed to do. And that's when we realized we fucked up with the couch and started fucking begging people to deliver cleaning supplies. And luckily we had masks and, you know, I'm a clean freak, so there was stuff. But like, I was like, had to ask the health authorities, I'm like, how do I throw out my garbage?
Yeah.
How do I pick up my mail?
Yeah.
You're telling me to get all this shit delivered, but like,
yeah,
in reality, how does it work?
The dissonance of health models, right?
Yeah. And like, just think of the amount of privilege we had to have to be able to do it. Like, thank fuck we bought that washing machine.
Oh, yeah.
Because I was like, oh, I'll do it after I'm done working.
Yeah. Our ascension into bourgeois middle class life was our safety net. It's kind of fucked up to think about, like, how we've kind of entered a different zone of class through our sheer will and pulling ourselves up by our bootstraps. But we could have been, we're not living with people, we're not renting a place with a bunch of other millennials, you know, we're not forced in a system or
still living with our parents.
Exactly. Like, there's no shared accommodations. Like, we thank God we have our own place in that sense.
And they're like, you know, wash everything at a high temperature, everything that you've touched, like everything that you've blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, cool. Like, had we not bought this washer and had we been in our last place, how the fuck do I even go to the laundry room? I'm not supposed to leave the apartment.
Yeah. I found it hard when just them talking to me, like the Fraser Health and then my meta employers at Disney calling me and trying to get me to, you know, to actually hold a conversation with them about what I should be doing, and especially the screening process while I had COVID, like while I had a fever. Like, I ended up stopping the guy from Disney mid-sentence and just being like, why are you talking to me right now about this? Like, it was something superfluous. And I was just like, I have COVID right now, buddy. Like, you know, and they're trying to get me to use my brain and remember every single person and name and number. That, you know, the responsibility of a person who could be potentially dying of COVID, and then they're trying to get me to like name names of people while they have an infrastructure that they could easily track down, you know, what was going on in those workplaces during those days. I just thought that was insane to me.
Like, yeah. Yeah. Because again, it's not thought through. They're like, oh, well, that person's going to give us a list. And it's like, what if that person's on event? Like,
yeah.
Or what if they might be on event? Or what if they're going through intense anxiety because of it? And now you're
exactly.
Like, and I think you were on speakerphone, so I remember when you lost your shit, because he was like, well, how do you think you got it?
Yeah.
What do you want me to say? Like, you know?
Yeah, just trying to deflect, trying to make sure they, you know, had me on.
Well, it couldn't have been from work, obviously, right? It's like, no, it was from work. I'm not a fucking asshole. Like, I work 97 hours a week on your job site. Where do you think I got it?
Mm-hmm. And then just talking about stats and stuff. And I just stopped him. Like, what is this doing for me right now? Just kind of stopped him. Like, I was just like, why are you continuing to talk about any of this? Like, I don't. Yeah.
This is dehumanizing at best.
Well, it was just crazy. I mean, at the end of the day, I mean, this is turning into it probably always has been an anarcho-socialist podcast in some ways. But
thanks for the labels, buds.
Yeah, I know. It's just like, why? Like, we're just numbers at the end of the day.
Yeah, for sure.
I mean, that's capitalism. We got to realize that. I mean, if you don't realize that, you got to kind of grow up a bit, you know? Like, it's not, I mean, it's a bad thing, but it's just what it is, like, you know? Mm-hmm.
Do you want to talk about the whole 2 weeks? Like, do you want to talk about us?
Talk about us? It's just been, I mean, like the strain. Do you want to talk about us? I think the strain that the stress has, I mean, you cannot have it. You can have it. You can't not be affected by it, you know, in your relationship and your personal life. It's just, I mean, we were already working, like 70 plus hours a week. That was already hard in a pandemic. And we were already burnt out. Like, that's like, I mean, we were already burnt out and talking about how burnt out we were. And we're coming at the end of a shooting season, all this stuff. And then to actually get COVID, I mean, it's like the floodgates. Like, good luck. Good luck having any sort of like ability to deal with anything appropriately.
No, and that's the thing. And like, I remember we're talking about resentment a lot, because like the health authorities is like, the person sick cannot do anything, cannot touch anything. They must carry with them sanitizer every time they go to the bathroom, and they can't touch anything in the, like, so I found myself having to freak out about you being okay, freaking out about me being okay.
Yeah.
Freaking out about everything else. Like, how am I going to feed you?
Yeah.
How am I going to wash everything you touch? Like, how am I going to clean the house? How am I going to deal with the garbage? Do 17 loads of laundry a day. While also being like, are you going to go to the hospital? And like,
yeah,
fuck, I remember, like, I don't think I'll ever forget, but like that day 8 where that article came out. And like, you got off social media because it was like too much for you.
Yeah.
And I read this article being like, yeah, this new, these new variants are, we're seeing an influx of, you know, 20 to 39 year olds coming in on day 10 of their symptoms straight to 100% oxygen.
Insane. Yeah.
And like, someone texted you that the next day.
Yeah.
Being like, hey, apparently day 10's the day to watch out for. And I'd purposely not told you because I didn't want you to freak.
Well, I'm already quietly like trying, you know what I mean? Like holding it together. Like,
yeah, we're both trying to hold it together as best as we could.
Yeah.
And then like the waiting for that day 10 to be over as if it was like some kind of fucking death sentence was brutal.
Brutal. The toll of that on the mental strain.
Yeah.
I mean, and like the again, like you're basically forced to be my, any, you know, like my fucking nanny, maid, and potentially hospice nurse, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm laying there with like, not only can I not do anything, right? Like, you know, like, oh, I want a glass of water. Or, oh, I want some, you know, I need to feed myself. I can't do any of that. And that can't touch it. I have to go, like, just remembering to completely sanitize a bathroom when you're still, like, suffering from COVID. I mean, it's hard, right? I didn't have it as, thank God I wasn't on a ventilator. But, I mean, it's still, that's no joke either, right? Like,
yeah, no, and again, I can't stress it enough. Like, it's like the fucking mental stress of it. It's like thinking that at any moment you could end up on a ventilator. Even if you're not, even if your symptoms are mild, like, you're, you know, we talk about fear a lot. We talk about the politics of fear, and like I do anyway on this podcast a lot. But this fear is not, yeah, it's social media driven, and yeah, that article didn't help and all that shit, but this is real fear.
Yeah. Very much so. And not being able to be contributing or like help you with your mental health or be there for you, because it's like, how can I be there for you if I, like, I have no ability to be there for myself? Do you, yeah, know what I mean? And I'm literally just sitting there like disassociating because it's the only thing to keep, dude, myself from like crying or yeah, being angry, right? Or being upset. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, not just we're stuck with each other, but I'm, you know, like I'm not even there for the most part. Like I'm just kind of shut off because, I mean, not only do I like it's like a defense mechanism, but I mean, like, just not having the ability, do you know what I mean? Not having the ability to talk about stuff or to contribute mentally or
emotionally.
Because I just can't.
Yeah. And like, you know, even further than that, like I was trying to dissociate, like think, fuck, we have this amazing exterior space. When it was not raining, I would just live out here and wouldn't have to wear a mask or be locked in a tiny room.
Yeah.
Was already helping. But then it inevitably catches up with you because like during the day, and if anyone follows me on Instagram, you'll know I was like wearing my hat and drinking cocktails, like pretending none of this was happening. But inevitably at night it would catch up to me and I would like have a full-blown breakdown almost every single night being like, yeah, I don't know how to do this.
Yeah.
And like constantly thinking like, if I get sick, like if I get sick now, who the fuck's gonna do it, you know?
Yeah, like work,
I mean,
yeah,
almost it doesn't matter anymore because then we'll just be like spreading each other's COVID all over the place. But also like you weren't able to, like, even if you could go get your glass of water, it was so much work.
Yeah.
So if both of us were, I, you know.
Yeah, it's hard. It's probably one of the hardest things we've gone through, easily.
After a year of hard things, fuck me.
After a year of being in a very loving, passionate relationship,
Yeah, but, you know, one with problems. Like, we're not, like, la-di-da, you know? It's still been a year of quarantine.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, I just... It's a pressure cooker. It's this is the instant pot of relationships.
You mean, like...
Time. Just pressure. Just a lot of pressure in a short amount of time. Yeah. A lot of pressure in a short amount of time.
I just keep thinking about... If we had less privilege, if we had less means of, you know, getting shit delivered or having nice friends that would drive all the way here and drop something off in front of our door. But also, like, what if one of us was abusive?
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's a hard part. You really feel for people. Like, you really...
What if we had kids?
Yeah. What if we had... I mean, what if we lived alone? I mean...
Yeah, like, because, away from each other. It's a thing I thought about while I was at work on Monday. I'm like, well, I haven't really been around you because on the weekend I was working and we didn't see each other that much. So like on Monday while I was at work, my chances of having gotten it from you were very low because we just hadn't spent that much time next to each other.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, so should I go to someone else's house? How do you do that? You can't really, in the middle of COVID, of a lockdown, we're not supposed to go have lunch with somebody, be like, hey, can I come stay at your house because I might have COVID? Like, you cannot do that or say that. Like, and you wouldn't want to risk giving it to someone. You haven't seen anyone in 6 months. And now after your partner got COVID, you can't just be like, hey, this is the time where I want to take shelter at your house. And like, further than that, even if I could afford or even if my work was like, okay, we'll put you in a hotel room. Like, and now you're here alone.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. It's scary. It's very, very scary.
And like, how do you tell your partner? I didn't even tell you any of this. Like, how would I even broach this? Like, hey, I'm going to go stay at a hotel. Like,
yeah,
hope
good
you're
luck.
Okay, bye.
Yeah, come back and just bleach everything. Like, yeah. I don't think I would have stopped you.
I know, but like, what would the consequences of that have been, you know?
Yeah. It really highlights the emotional toll of like of emotional labor just relationships have. Do you know what I mean? It's like the testing point. This has been basically the litmus test in a lot of ways.
How do we do?
I think we did better than we give ourselves credit for.
Cause we're like, we suck.
Yeah. Well, we're also passionate, emotional people.
Talk for yourself.
And also very
stubborn. I'm very logical and cold. What?
You like to think that, but...
I'm joking, clearly.
Clearly. I know. Yeah, blood and honey.
Blood and honey?
Blood and honey.
We've watched a Balkan documentary, and now it's just going to hold it against me.
Oh, no, we watched
it. That Balkan stock made me impervious to COVID-19, okay?
It's very, yeah, very true. Once you've had centuries of constant warfare, then depleted uranium dropped on you, kind of gives you your system a little bit of a kick.
Swear to God, my mom thinks that's the case, and she's like, I'm blood type zero. They've proven that we're more resistant, so fuck the world. Nothing's going to kill me now. And I'm like, well, I don't blame you for thinking that.
Yeah. When you've been through wars, it kind of...
When you grew up under Tito,
yeah,
and you're still alive today.
Yeah, exactly.
You know?
No, it's true, though. It's actually, like, we say that, and, like, I don't want to like fetishize it or romanticize it, but I mean, when you grow up in like harder conditions, it kind of gives you that little bit of an edge. Unfortunately, that's the irony of the world, right?
That's the irony of boomers.
Yeah.
Some of them, you know.
Very much so.
Because I'd say her frame of thought is like, I'm joking now, but I'm constantly being like, you're an idiot.
Yeah.
To her.
Expand. Yeah. No. I'm this is.
What do you mean?
Expand. Like, what? Like,
well, like, that's the thing. They're that generation being like, I don't blame that generation for being like, what are you pussy scared of?
Mm-hmm.
Still not the right thing to do. But I'm not saying I don't understand it.
I understand it, or I accept it from somebody like your mom, or even like my parents to a lesser extent. He grew up in like, not typical like the suburban nuclear family scenario when they're like literally growing up in like trapping cabins and like in like harsh conditions and like logging camps. And
yeah, but still your parents went through that and they're still taking this shit seriously.
They are.
So there's no excuse. You know what I'm saying? I'm not saying there's an excuse for that behavior. I'm just saying I understand it. Like logically, I understand it with my brain.
Yeah.
I don't approve of it.
No, and it's not necessarily fair, but at least your mom went through shit. I mean, it's not good. Like, at least there was that, like, because when I, my context for boomers are, like, the majority of people growing up in Canada that grew up in, like, essentially the most privileged, I mean, yes, the 60s and the civil rights, but, like, those weren't the people necessarily experiencing the, you know what I mean? Like, the hard baton mm-hmm. and fire hose of the 60s revolution.
No, they were white.
But, I mean, you know, seeing those people be like, oh, you know, what are you complaining about? It's like, well, we're complaining that we didn't get the keys to the kingdom, or, you know, the silver platter of like 4 years of university equals high paying job equals security. Like, you know.
Yeah.
That's great. Yeah.
And?
Well, and it's somebody like your mother who's actually been through stuff. I mean, I'm not. Comparatively to that, right? When they're like,
yeah, but you could say that about anybody that age in Europe, you know, like
that's true.
Except for maybe the Brits.
Your mom has that immigrant mentality, though, and maybe that's a North American thing where we fed it. You know, we're like, oh man, if you grew up, you have that immigrant mentality. Like that makes you tougher. That's better. It's better that you grew up. That it's better that you strived through the unfair, unequal hierarchy of Western capitalism, and you've made it. You know, like you're tough.
Mm-hmm.
You've made it. No excuses, everybody. That's why we don't have social programs. But it's like, okay, well, not everybody's an immigrant and not everybody, you know, like everybody's experiences are vastly different.
And also it's not because these people survived.
Yeah.
That's the way to go.
Exactly. It's almost like a blessing that people survive, right? It's like, you're like, oh, thank God you survived. I'm so sorry. It shouldn't be like, yeah, you survived. Like, you're tougher.
High five.
Yeah. High five. But that's a reality though, right?
It is.
It's like sports. You made the cut.
Oh God. Yeah.
Blood and honey, baby. Blood and honey.
It's just like, I feel very strange about this whole experience because, like, obviously, if anyone followed me on social media, like, I was journaling it because I realized that there was a lot of shame around a COVID diagnosis and the reality of it. And
was
that
there?
Everyone was treating it like a fucking STI.
How so?
Like, if you got it, how'd you get it? You must be dirty. Or it's a shameful thing because no one's like, I haven't seen many people anyway in my circle being like, I got COVID. And a lot of them did. I found out after.
Yeah. I was approached. Two people were like, we got it. I had some friends who had to go back to Ireland and like, we got it in Ireland and they're like, it was awful.
And that's the thing. And I'm like, okay, so we've managed to make this. People, humans, the society into a situation that breeds more shame, which for me is like the ultimate irony of all this shit. Cause like you said, the fucking, the virus doesn't give a shit who you are or what you do or what you've been doing. It just does its thing. And so to be able to, as a society, attach shame to it or make it something shameful or dirty is astounding and a huge sign of what we do to ourselves.
Yeah, I think that's partially why I just straight up was, as soon as I got my diagnosis, you know, I was like, I got COVID. Like, might as well get it. Like, fuck it. Fuck y'all. I got COVID. Like, this is reality. And
I don't think I could have been as open if you didn't right away go like, I have COVID.
But, and I find that fascinating because our relation, both of us have vastly different relationships with social media and how we approach. Mm-hmm. And usually I'm the more conservative person on social media.
Mm-hmm.
Like I don't mind posting pictures about myself, but I'm slightly more guarded on it.
Well, you're also not pushing someone to buy your book.
Yes. And I find that interesting that you would, a person who has a much more curated and present identity on social media, would be more, like, you have more at stake on social media, and therefore you're more hesitant to actually expose, like, a side of weakness. I don't know necessarily.
No, because okay, I could see how you'd think that about people, but like me in particular, like I've always done that. That's my presence.
Very true. That's a good point.
I've always done that. I think that I'm struggling nowadays that I have more and more like work contacts following my page being like, okay, well, let's talk about sex toys and one night stands and, you know, lessons of sex. What was the word I used to use? Oh my God, I'm forgetting my own words. Sexpeditions?
Yeah, well, fucking COVID kind of destroyed all that fun shit, eh?
No, but I mean, and so I was more hesitant to post about that stuff, but I'm still posting on a theoretical level about like, this is all the shit we should be talking about, like from my humble point of view. And so this one, I wasn't worried about talking about it. I was just stunned by even, not COVID, just chain smoking. By the fact that I was even perceiving that shame, you know?
Interesting. That's very interesting.
Like, I was shocked that you put it up because you're a private person.
Yeah.
Ish.
Well, and for me, it was just more like it was kind of like a I wanted to just be like, hey guys, like this is real. Do you know what I mean? Like screw all this like peacocking and presenting.
Like a
PSA? Yeah, it's like this is fucking real. This is the reality of the situation. I have this. This is the only way right now I can actually connect and have dialogue with the vast majority of people that I know. So here it is. Like,
yeah. And I mean, and that's,
and then I got off it.
Then you were like, fuck this.
Well, it's because then with that, and I mean, like, and I accepted that, right? I'm like, I'm probably going to get inundated with a lot of people asking me kind of impersonal questions. And that's just the nature I find. That's the part I don't like about social media where you're connected all the time, but it's very impersonal. Like you're connected, but you're not actually it's a very shallow connection in a lot of ways. So people would be like, what are the symptoms like? And you're like, fuck you, man. I'm literally, I have COVID right now. Why are you asking me? Are you a doctor? Like they were fascinated about how I was feeling because, you know, they didn't have it. And they're probably like, oh, I kind of, this will put
how
my mind
does
at ease.
It get? Yeah.
And it's like, I'm not here to make you feel better about how it feels. This is bad. Like, do you know what I mean? Like fuck off. That's how that, you know, and I just knew that was going to be part of it. And so I kind of got off it again. For a bit until I really felt but I was out of the woods or starting to get out of the woods, which is fine. I mean, and that's the whole thing though. That's the power of, I mean, you should be able to get off it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
People, you know, and people make fun of people for being like, oh, every, you know, millennials or zoomers are always logging off and then coming back. It's like, yeah, but people need that. Like people need that break a lot of times.
It's so funny how like you saying you getting off social media should mean forever. Like instead of saying, hey, I need time out. They're like, oh, you're quitting. You know, like that's even the words that we use.
Oh, yeah. Well, because it's all, I mean, vanity. People project their own feelings of vanity, I think, and the self onto other people. So they're like, oh, you're quitting, even though you're just like, it's all shallow and you're just talking about bullshit. Like, and then you're getting off it. It's like, yeah, but that's you have every right to not participate into something. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, even if you thought you wanted to.
Exactly.
Like you follow your instincts, right? You go like, I need to say this. I need to talk about this. And then you face the repercussions and you're like, nope, no thank you. Because ultimately it is what you're doing to yourself. And I think we forget that we don't owe anyone anything of a personal space. You know, it's not an owed thing. Go ahead.
No, I don't think it is. I absolutely agree. But I just like to point out how for whatever reason through ourselves or through the algorithm, quote unquote, we're almost made to feel that we're owed. We owe people replies. We owe people time. We owe people, you know, conversations. We owe people responses. We owe people posts like that. That's very real, right? The participation aspect kind of clicks on something I think subconsciously or that we're not necessarily actively aware of. And then you don't realize how, yeah, like the shame of, well, I don't want to, you know, talk about this, or I feel the shame of exposing myself about COVID, or I feel the shame of like just going away and not responding. And I love it. I love ghosting on social media though, like just not going on it or talking to people for a day. But then again, I posted a thing About, because I lost my sense of smell. I lost my sense of taste. Yeah. And then I did this post where I was like, hey guys, like, I've just been thinking about this a lot. If people could maybe, I'm going to post a question on here, like respond with your, you know, maybe the first taste thing you've tasted or something, you know, a smell or taste memory. Yeah. And I got a lot of really good responses, but I didn't, I got some responses and then I just didn't go on social media like all day because I have COVID and I just didn't feel like going on it. And then the next day I was like, oh my God, I can't respond. And I got stressed because it had been 24 hours. So I had to like go out of my way to take screenshots.
Yeah, but I remember you even like the night before being like, oh, I feel bad for not responding. And I'm like, yes. You're recovered. Like,
yeah,
just take a nap. You had a huge edible. Take it in and you don't owe them anything. And you read the responses. Ultimately, that's what you pose the question for, is to know their responses, not to tell other people what their responses were, even though that's how it is framed. And I think recovering from a thing like COVID is like, you know, even now, like, we're both allowed to leave the house, but because we're through it, but it's still like weird. Like when they were like, oh, you guys can touch each other. We were like, are you sure?
Yeah, that was fucking weird. Also weird not touching somebody for so long.
Yeah, but like also realizing that the doctors are just guessing.
Yeah.
You know, like, oh, you're likely safe now. I kind of need a more definitive answer, sir.
Yeah.
Like, what do you mean I'm likely safe? Have I gone through hell for fucking 14 days to go and like kiss you and then get it?
Yeah, well, exactly. It's even like when I, you know, the amount of stress I had when I would like, oh, I might not have touched, because I mean, I have ADHD as well.
Mm-hmm.
And my attentiveness can be lacking at the best of times. And then, you know, being like, oh shit, I actually forgot to sanitize the screen door handle or light bulb that I unscrewed. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. And then having to go back like hours and then being scared that you actually touched it, you know?
Yeah.
It's scary. Very scary.
And super surreal because like, you know, you keep being told do your best and shit. And like, everyone's like, listen to the experts. The experts are guessing. It's like a study of elimination. That's the definition of science.
Yeah, and it takes.
They're doing their best, yeah, but exactly. Like, there's no right answer in a pandemic.
No, and especially in a pandemic in the age of isolation and individual, like hyper individualism, mm-hmm. through the use of social media and the idea of the self. Because I think that to get through stuff, it takes group cohesion.
It takes community care.
Yeah, and we don't have that. We saw that in the beginning, right? When people were, you know,
coming together.
Well, people were stockpiling toilet paper and meat.
Oh, that.
And then, you know, these corporations were doing nothing to be like, hey, guys, maybe, you know what I mean? Like, it like if you just let people...
Unfettered capitalism.
Yeah. If you let people... I think there's stories of, obviously, people coming together and helping each other,
yeah.
Obviously. But when you see people just not doing that off the jump and mm-hmm. just the self-interest, that was very depressing. I think I was more psychologically... anxious and untrusting and hurt in the first 4 months of this pandemic. That was the scary, right? Because you're just not knowing and then just seeing people be fucking complete dipshits. And then both private and public organizations, whether it's, you know, Costco, which is like a government in a sense, right? Because that's where we get our stuff from, or the actual government doing nothing. Do you know what I mean? Like not stopping people from just buying all the toilet paper, not, you know, the government not actually shutting things down or getting people to wear masks.
That's against free market.
Yeah.
You know, I had this conversation with a friend of mine yesterday because I posted this thing. Anyways, we got into this argument about why I blame everything on capitalism. I think his bubble is very different from mine. He went to business school and isn't as exposed to the capitalist critique as I would be. And so he's like, well, no, it's not capitalism that's to blame. It's the humans misusing the economic theory of capitalism. Like, Bezos exists because he thwarts, like, unions and all this other stuff. And I was like, yeah, but that's unions are not part of the economic theory of capitalism.
No, they're a reaction to it.
Yeah. And so it was very interesting to me how he would see that humans misusing capitalism wasn't capitalism's fault. But as soon as you talked about socialism, it was like Stalin. It's like, well, actually, no. Like, the theory of socialism failed because of humans, and it's the same with capitalism. It is failing because of humans. Like, you can't just be like, this is the, he was like, capitalism is the best framework economically speaking.
No, that's fucking bullshit.
And I was
shut
like
up.
He's like, why wouldn't you want more pie? And then it's like the way, it's the social policies that define how you distribute the more pie that capitalism creates. And I was like, we've proven that we don't need more fucking pie. We have enough pie to feed the entire world, and we don't.
Yep. Yeah. Well, and just
so the insistence of thinking that more is better is fucked, and it's so like indoctrinated in people that that's the right way, that there is a right way.
Yeah, it's people don't understand that all the social niceties we have in this society is from a century plus battle between socialism and capitalism. You know, the fact that we have sick days, and barely have sick days, the fact that we barely have job protection, but that we do, the fact that we have any sort of safety net and beneficial program or system in place for people is because of socialism, and it's because of the fight in the Western world that and it's been. I mean, I know I took history. But like the fact that I had 10 days of sick days. The fact that I have actually one of the few strong, I belong to one of the few strong labor unions in this society is because of that history. And the fact that people think that this has just shown that the invisible hand of the free market won't fucking fix shit. Unregulation, it's just the whole free for all and that freedom. Like, it's very appealing when the getting's good. But
and it's very
nothing.
Appealing if you think that that is the driver of innovation, and if you think that that is the driver of progress, and that is the driver like that. But for me, that really just shows like the depth of the indoctrination of thinking that the only way humans progress is by being individualist assholes of who want to further their own. You know, like they're like, well, you wouldn't have all these luxuries that we have today if it wasn't for capitalism. And it's like, really?
What
How
luxuries?
Do you know?
Who has those luxuries? Though?
No, the luxuries of like a phone, a computer, like the technological advances come from the possibility of enriching oneself. Like that's the logic behind it. And I'm like, really? You're giving? Yeah. I mean, I don't blame you for giving humans so little credit. We've proven a really bad track record, but what a lack of imagination.
Oh, yeah. No, it's fucking bullshit. It's absolute garbage. It's just selfish, but I mean, hyper individuality and selfishness have basically pervaded, you know, have socially have won for the most part in people's minds. And it makes a good story, right? Even the underdog story of somebody again, we're talking about the immigrant, you know, you persevered, you won, therefore you've won the ability to progress in the social ladder. Yet the people at the top are the people that actually talk about this and really emphasize it are people that have never actually had to strive.
Well, that's the opposite of the argument that they're making, though.
Exactly. I know. That's what I mean. It's absolutely insane. Like, even you look at Tesla, right? People are like, oh, Tesla's so great. It's like you have a fucking rich guy who grew up in one of the most economically unbalanced systems of the Western world using that to his advantage. And yes, he can talk the talk. It's like, I dream. But like, you look at it, it's like he didn't start Tesla. He bought Tesla, took it over. You know what I mean? He starts these systems, takes them over, and then it's like, this person has the vision. It's like, you guys have all just read Atlas Shrugged in high school, decided that was your viewpoint, and then have just shut your brains off. Do you know what I mean? Absolutely ridiculous.
I don't even think it's a brains issue. I think it's a heart issue, babe. I just finished reading Glennon Doyle, so pardon me if I'm a little like using her words, but the imagination piece, it's huge. Like, we don't think that knowing and imagination are related. We don't think that, you know, thinking outside the box. We think that that's a furtherment of knowledge, that that's like an improve, you know, as opposed to just reimagining shit that we already know. And that's also part of knowledge, but it's not led with the brain. Not as we conceive of it in capitalism anyway.
Yeah.
So I think it's just all a bit of a, like, you know, that conversation with that friend being like, so are you saying you're a socialist? I'm not saying I'm not a socialist. I'm just saying you're giving a lot of outs to capitalism that you're not giving to any other system. All I'm saying is, like, they're like, well, so you're a pessimist. I'm like, I didn't say that either. I'm just saying you're showing a lack of imagination by thinking that this is the best system and that the facts are that this is the best way to do things. Like, there are no facts. There is no objectivity. Yeah. Like, hello, post-structuralist critique. I studied political theory, clearly. But, like,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah, exactly. There's no... Yeah.
Like, who are you to say that? Who are we to say that?
Well, I mean, I think humans... I think we... think Hubris. We have to subscribe to... Yeah, we have to subscribe to a system, and you're like, this is the way. Do you know what I mean?
Hmm.
I'm invested now. It has to work. Do you know what I mean? I've bought the ticket. I, you know,
can't get off the ride.
This
now.
Ride can't fail while I'm on it, essentially.
Yeah.
I don't know. You're much smarter than I am for describing this.
No, that makes total sense.
Because I just want to punch him in the face. All those people are idiots. I don't know. Fuck that shit. I don't know.
You don't know who this is, so it's even funnier.
Well, just, I mean, people can just shut the fuck up, and it's just... It's anytime there's like...
No, and it was a respectful conversation. Yeah, like, it wasn't... what I'm like, caveat to what I'm saying yeah. is like, we were arguably aiming for the same solution, calling it different things and disagreeing yeah. on who to support, which is the biggest problem nowadays.
Totally.
So I think violence, first of all, is not the solution, babe. I'm sorry. Punching them in the face is not going to get you anywhere.
Yeah.
Yeah, and we watched too much Yellowstone. You're like, this is my land.
I'm just going to start punching everybody. I don't know. I just, you know, this comes from a very real thing. Like, just hearing, growing up where I grew up and just, you know, like having family members who were completely dependent on a more socialized medical system. You know what I mean? Like, my parents were public employees. Mm-hmm. I had a sister with type 1 diabetes. So from an early age, and it already cost us an arm and a leg to... pay for her insulin.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, the very fact that my parents' collective bargaining agreement ensured that we had mm-hmm. subsidized medicine, and then people being like, you guys are lazy, or this is stupid, this is wrong, unions are wrong, and all this stuff. It's like, well, that could literally say if my sister died or not. And the whole thing of just get a better job or just... So it's like, so you don't want society? Everybody should just be stabbing each other in the back to become the principal or to become the school board trustee or you know what I mean, a rich person? And like, we can't just have teachers and teachers' aides and people who actually just work, because, and it's like, those people should be treated like shit. Like, we shouldn't have that, because, you know, and it's just like, no, fuck that shit. Fuck that. I mean, and like, yeah, I think metaphorically punch him in the fucking face. Fuck that. Shut it down. It's real. That shit's real. Do you know what I mean? When people like talking about political theory, they listen to Ben Shapiro or, you know, go on the Joe Rogan podcast and hear ideas, and it's great for them to, and they say that shit on the internet and they're like, this is my thoughts. But it's like, if you've actually lived through a process of being shown the options of unregulated capitalism and privatization versus even just... No, it's, I don't even like calling it compassion.
Well, no,
it's
but
just,
it is though, because it comes back to what you were talking about yesterday. The fact that like the places that misbehaved the most with COVID are getting the vaccine because they didn't have the socialized medicine. They just had a fuckload of rich people buying the vaccines, which is what we're seeing in the US is like,
yep.
You know, the socially acceptable argument is that, well, they needed it the most. It's like, well, they shouldn't have needed it. They shouldn't have fucking needed it to this degree. If they had any kind of fucking social safety net or any kind of healthcare system that could have handled a situation like this, but they didn't. So instead they bought the entire world's doses of the vaccine and they're like, oh, we're good, this never happened, this is the typical American problem of like, exactly. Nope, there is no problem, swipe this under the rug, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
And that is the result of capitalism.
Absolutely.
And all the places that have been good, that have been careful, we're going to be last on the list because, oh, it's not that bad there, you don't need the solution that much.
Yeah.
Like, what kind of fucked up bullshit is this?
Oh yeah, thank you for saying what I've been thinking for the last week or so, the anger of that absolutely. I mean, it's hard not to be incredibly angry. Even the fact that, I mean, and I think this points out that our class system is also an age system where those are completely intertwined, where you have older people with more money and voting power and bigger homes, safer spaces because of their, you know, their what they've won through
their stage in their life. Yeah.
Yeah. And them getting the irony of them getting vaccinated sooner. And then people who have to work, you know, whether it's immigrants and young people, millennials, essentially, who are part of the workforce, who are in urban conditions or just much more cramped conditions because of the society, you know, and we're getting vaccinated last, and these variants are running through us.
Decimating us.
Decimating us. And then we're being told by the same boomers to like, don't, you know, too bad. No sick days.
Also, don't fuck it up.
And don't fuck it up. And I can see, I can understand the frustration and how many people have become almost anti-pandemic or anti-lockdown. But it's fucked up. We're talking about this again with capitalism, where you have people who the concept of having sick days and having social safety nets are so low that people are frustrated and angry. And instead of being like, hey, we need to fix the system. So the taxes,
they're like, I got
to
go back to work.
We got to go open up for our business. Open up. Let us go back to work. Let us live. And that's a tragedy.
It is.
Instead of holding governments accountable and demanding sick days and demanding things, we just say, nope, let's just open back up. And even what we should be doing,
and like, it's like those four people in Canadian media being like, look at the data. This is when we had CERB, like our minimal income for everyone during the summer. The cases were fucking zero. Not zero, but the closest to zero we've been. And since everyone's gone back to work, we've told 20 to 39-year-olds, don't fuck it up for the rest of us, when we're like, excuse me, look around you. Is
bag
anything open without 20 to 39-year-olds? Is anything producing, since that is what you care about?
Yeah. And immigrants and people and people, you know, processing plants, farms, you know what I mean? Where these things are popping off.
Ranchers. No, I'm just kidding.
No, God. You and your yellow Kevin Costner soap opera.
Listen, we'll talk about that in another episode.
But yeah, no, and that's a fucked up thing, is that it's, you know, it's you have these systems set in place that completely fuck us over, and then we're just told
that it's our fault.
That's our fault.
That we fucked it up.
And then we don't get vaccines.
Yeah.
Like, I'm totally for old people. You know, when it was the care homes, yes, vaccinate the people who are 80 plus. But
even 70 plus. 70
plus.
But like the 50 to 65 who are retired in their homes. Like, and this is my parents. Like, my dad is fully able to stay at home by himself and see no one.
Yeah.
We're not.
Exactly. And when we shouldn't. It's not fair. It's, I mean, it's not fucking fair.
I would happily, listen, pay me and I'll sit at home.
Sure.
That's what we're talking about, right? So.
Yeah.
How many people in that age gap, their jobs have been like, okay, we'll send you on an early retirement. That's a fucking lottery at this point in history, you know?
Yep. Absolutely.
Like, the pursuit of just going back to work is bullshit. I don't want to go back to work. I want to be safe. I don't want to go through with the last 2 weeks of my life. I don't want to do that. That's what I don't want.
Well, yeah. And I mean, we've seen that we're already burnt out as it is working in this last year.
No, but we choose our jobs. That's why we're burnt out. But
that's true.
Yeah. Anyways, let's wrap this up. Well, first of all, thanks y'all for listening to this rant.
Yeah.
Do you have anything to say to anybody in particular today?
No. I mean, fuck Whistler. Fuck the town of Whistler.
No. I already told you. Let's not go there. They don't have a hospital.
Okay.
Don't blame a town.
Well, I'm blaming us as a society who felt like we needed to ski. You know, it's not everybody. It's people going to Whistler too.
Yeah.
That's a big thing.
Anyways, if you're not from Canada, this is a very unreasonable tangent.
Yeah.
But no. I mean, if anyone.
COVID's real.
Yes.
Everybody, it's fucking real. This is going to scare you. This is going to suck, but you can also be as nice as you can be, as good as you possibly can. And you're still going to get it. So.
Or not.
Or not. So you don't know.
Even if you don't get it, you might still suffer the consequences.
Yeah. So it's no joke.
Yeah. Just see the shrink if you can. Talk to anyone if you can. Get those virtual hugs and those virtual sessions in, because honestly, I know they're not the same, but this shit's fucking hard.
Yeah.
But as Glennon would say, we can do hard things, even though we shouldn't have to. We can do hard things.
Yeah. I'm not going to make a joke about that, but...
You mean your dick joke?
Yeah.
Mark was really happy. Okay, if you weren't on my Instagram, this is the highlight of the quarantine, is Mark's dick got hard again. The same day I said, we can do hard things.
It was a sign, a literal sign.
Cue the thrusting in the air.
Hey, I mean...
Hey, you're relieved of function.
Virility, yeah. Virility is a virtue.
All right, folks. Well, thanks for listening. I hope everyone is okay.
Yeah.
You know, I really hope everyone is okay.
I don't care. I'm a nihilist now.
Oh, God. Okay. Well, I love you all. take sweet, sweet care of yourselves and the people you love. But don't see them in person because you might give them COVID. And find a way to have some pleasure today. All right. Talk to you soon.